This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey guys, I'm so excited to be talking to you right now and welcoming you to the 100th episode of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Are you kidding me right now? That's all you got? Like, I've done this 100 times, and that's all you've got? Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. That was critical. We got off on the wrong foot. Let's just try again, but maybe just because I'm dainty and my feelings are getting hurt, can you just be a little bit more excited? Welcome to the 100th episode of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I'm so glad we could get past that. I thought so long about what I wanted to do for my 100th episode, what would be super fun for me, but what would be really helpful for you. And I thought, it seems like my relationship I have with my neighbors is something that I get a lot of feedback and questions about. And so I thought, number one, it'd be super fun to record that, but it would also be helpful. So I did, and it was awesome. And they were so nervous. It was adorable. But also, it really touched me how seriously they took it. I sent them some questions ahead of time to kind of jot down their answers, and they all wrote down answers, and I didn't know this, but behind my back, kind of, like, not in a bad way, but they were kind of talking about how nervous they were and kind of processing through it. And I just love their earnestness and their support of me. And you are gonna, oh my gosh, you're gonna love them so much. They're just darling and really great group of ladies. We got around to answering some of the questions that I got from some of you on Instagram, and the ones that we didn't answer on the recording, I'll quickly address when we are done. But just wanted to share them with you. I know that you're going to love them as much as I do. Before we get started, though, I wanted to introduce you to another new friend of mine, this week's episode sponsor, Rebecca Renfro. And she is a coach for small business owners. Primarily, her people who she coaches are moms. And so I thought this is so important for you guys to know about. A lot of you are obviously moms and small business owners. So I have been working with her. And if you've noticed, like, some new things I'm doing, it's all because Rebecca is just really great at helping you understand where are you, where are you getting stuck, where do you want to be, and how can you get there. So just having somebody to bounce ideas off of and brainstorm with and kind of problem solve has been so great for me. I've made so many really important changes in this show because of my conversations with her. So I wanted to tell you about her coaching. You can find out more about it at RebeccaRenfro.com. And she is going to give Mom Struggling Well listeners 10% off of their coaching package. Also, if you go to RebeccaRenfro.com, she has free resources, PDFs, business blueprints, and videos that are very useful. What I love about Rebecca is that she is a mom herself, so she understands the trickiness, but she's also had several businesses herself. She's very encouraging, and you get off the phone with her feeling like you can just basically do anything and you have a plan about how to do it. So I highly encourage you to use her services. You will be very glad that you did. Very quickly, I wanted to tell you just a tiny bit about each of my neighbors. Amber is she's very artistic and spunky. She's a dancer. She has like red streaks in her hair or spiky hair. There's just always something going on with Amber's hair. And she loves to speak life into people. She sees something in them and she just really encourages it. And then Rita is whimsical and into deep meanings of things. She's a deep thinker and she's very gentle and kind, but incredibly strong, and knows herself well enough to really enter in with people who are different than her without any kind of judgment or insecurity. She's always wanting to learn more and she's always asking questions. She's so great to be around. And then Tina is just, I mean, I don't think we could be more opposite, but I have learned so much about life and perspective from her I'll just be talking to her and just telling her, you know, whatever kind of pit I feel like I'm in or something that's really a problem for me. And she'll say, Emily, you know, the thing of it is, and then she'll just give me a completely different perspective that is also true. I just love her perspective and her spin on things. And it's not pretend. Her sunshiny perspective is just as true as my not that sunshiny perspective. And I'm learning that if I get to choose which one, I might as well choose hers because homegirl is having a lot more fun than most of us are. And then Elaine is very strong, and we talk and hear about how she's an overcomer. She actually grew up hearing and then in high school started losing her hearing until she was largely deaf. I don't know the right words or anything, but she had a hard time engaging with us at some points because she couldn't hear that well. And then she recently got cochlear implants. And then now she is really doing an amazing job hearing and she sticks with it. And there's a lot of practicing involved in learning how to hear again and kind of retraining your brain. And so she is such a hero to me because her ability to navigate the hearing culture and the deaf culture. And now she has a job where she kind of works with both cultures to help them understand each other. So it's just really neat. So if you hear us talk about when she got implants, those are the type of implants we're talking about. So anyway, there are lovely ladies and I can't wait to share them with you. So let's go ahead and get started.
The people in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day.
So, ladies, I've gathered you all here today to talk about our friendship. We live in the same neighborhood. We are friends, and it's beautiful. We're very different, and I think a lot of people don't have this and they don't know how to have it, and it's a need that they have, and I know that because they tell me and they tell me they want to live in our neighborhood. So I felt like since everybody can't live in our neighborhood, we might as well tell them how they can do it and what they can do that would make this happen in their own life. So first I just want to ask you guys, how are you feeling right now? We have a little bit of nerves. I can see it on y'all's faces.
I am so nervous.
Okay.
But very happy and so, thankful to be here.
So good.
Doing this.
Less nervous together.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Okay, we're going to make it through this. I feel really confident we're going to make it through this. All right, so I wanted to first talk about some of the first impressions that you guys had of one another when we first met.
I remember meeting Amber and I just thought that she had amazing style. She was always in her cute little maxi dresses. And at the time, I think she had a pixie cut. And I was like, wow, she's so cute.
Such cute Aww. Hair.
Yeah. I remember meeting Tina and just, she had a calmness about her. So I felt, you know, just like, wow, she's so calm and she's continued to be that way to me. I haven't changed my impression of her.
I didn't think Tina was real when she was, like, not inauthentic, but I thought she's too happy to actually be that happy. But it's true, she's that happy.
I think she ends everything with like, but everything's great.
And she, and she honestly is there. Like, that's honest, right?
That's pure Tina.
That's pure Tina.
Rita was so beautiful, and I was just struck by how beautiful and down-to-earth she was. Like, she had no idea how beautiful she was.
And, thank you.
And just completely humble. And she's continued to be that way.
Yeah.
And I knew Emily, but I'd never really been around her much. And at the time, I wasn't really hearing everything so well. I was kind of relying on and reading everybody's lips. And Emily was telling a story about her first husband and living in England, and I was like, this lady's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. She sounded like light about it and just like, whatever, yeah, this happened. And I was like, she's crazy. And I came home and I was telling my husband about this night I had. And I was like, everybody was, you know, real sweet, but Emily, man, the story is like, I don't know about her. I don't know if everything's okay with her, but it sounds kind of
crazy. I'm worried about that girl.
Yeah, I'm worried about her.
I know the story and it's regular to me and it's in my past, but when I kind of drop it on people, they're like, holy cow, like
yeah,
how many other problems
just,
do you have?
You tell big things in a light way. You're just like, yeah, this happened. But also, I didn't hear everything you said, so the bits and pieces I got were like, abduction, kidnapped, hostage. I was like, oh my God.
Overwhelming, yeah. That's funny.
I love that. Well, I met Tina maybe 7 years ago, I think, at our neighborhood Halloween party, and I instantly felt this admiration for Tina. I knew there was something special about her, and I felt like we could never be friends. She was, like...
out of your league.
Out of my league, yeah. Exactly. Oh, beyond reach. And I was, like, I was resigned to that.
So Rita resigned herself to a Tina free life.
There was just something cool about her, but she looked busy. She looked busy to me. Emily, I met at McDonald's. We had a play date through mm-hmm. Tina. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's what I first remember thinking.
That's what everybody says about me.
So beautiful. And I knew there was like a depth, you know, and she seemed serious. You seemed serious mm-hmm. to me, Emily. But now I know, like, you have such a great sense of humor. Like, you can be serious and light. And Elaine, I thought she was quiet and private and reserved. I thought it would be hard to get into her inner circle, but I knew it would be worth it. And then Amber, I knew from, you know, day one that she was fun. And I also felt like you were busy. I felt like all of you were busy. And that, like, it would take work to, like, you know, get to spend time with you guys.
I love that you're saying that, because don't mm-hmm. we all just assume that everybody's too busy to be mm-hmm. friends, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That I wish I had a better memory.
And Amber has nothing to contribute.
And I really checked some things.
Amber doesn't remember anything.
Rita, at the Boo Bash, after telling what you've just shared, it's amazing to me because you whipped out that day planner. Do you guys remember that? Like, she whips it out and she starts gathering everybody's email address. Like, it was your job. You literally, you got it all. And then you coordinated this email list. You just spearheaded that.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to ask about that because somebody asked a question. Let me see who asked it. Please hold the line. Giggle, wink, smile on Instagram said, how do you start your relationships with them? What would you say to someone who knows the people who live on the street, but there's no community events and no talking? Everyone goes their own way. It seems creepy to be the first one to get to know everyone or throw a party or something. Did anybody think Rita was creepy?
No, I no. loved it. I'm like, look at her. I thought, she's the most organized person I've ever met in my life.
Well, the initiative, though.
So impressed.
That's just the initiative of someone's personality, yeah. being able to initiate, hey, you know, guys, we had a great time today. We should get together. Like, let's do this again. You know, and really taking the first step and just saying, I enjoyed our conversation. Our kids seem to play well together. Let's do this again. And really being intentional, not just let's talk about it. Hey, well, let's exchange information now, because that's what you were doing. It's so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it took for me, it took a little bit of pulling me in. I think Tina was good about whenever I'd mm-hmm. see her. She was my first friendship out of all of us. Mm-hmm. Tina's the first person that I really bonded with.
How did that happen?
You invited me to your housewarming party.
Oh, I had a housewarming party. And Amber and Tina both came to my housewarming party.
I think we just see each other outside a lot.
Yeah, I would, you know, if I went to a neighborhood event, my husband really wanted us to dive into the HOA events. And I would see Tina and I was like, okay, there's somebody I know. I think we get, you know, caught up in our head and thinking that they'll think I'm crazy or creepy or, you know, something. This is going to be unwanted. But mostly, I think it's what we think. Then the other person doesn't think that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the other person is like, oh, I really enjoy talking to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and something that Rita and I have talked about you, Elaine, is you started hanging out with all of us. But then there came this day when Vivian, I think, was like, I think she was 18 months. And you hadn't gotten your, you know, your cochlear implants yet. And things were just kind of difficult for you to be around us. And you were so authentic and so real. You said, guys, I can't hang out for a little while because it's just too hard for me. And what I loved about that was I loved how truthful you were. But then when you were ready and Viv got to a certain age, you came back. Mm-hmm. And it was just awesome. And you've been back now since she's been like 3. But there was just a season where you're just like, you guys were at the pool. I can't chase her fast enough. Mm-hmm. I can't hear what you guys are saying. But I loved it that you had the courage to tell us that you couldn't do it for a while. And then I love it that you came back.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I had hoped. I kind of in my head said, let's just give it some time.
Yeah.
It's hard for me in the group, I couldn't keep up with everybody, what they were saying. I wanted to be a part of it so bad.
Our place has so many pools. I remember feeling the same way when Porter was Vivian's age, like, this is really stressful. I can't imagine on top of that having hearing loss. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't look away and watch her. I had to be either there or with her. And, you know, but I loved you guys. And I so good. And there was a time when I said, you know what? And I was texting Tina, put me back in the group message.
Oh. Well, yeah, but,
make sure I'm back in.
And I remember that day, and I remember the day you said, guys, I can't. But what I guess I would say to people listening is tell your truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't be afraid, because if it's a really good group and they really care about you, mm-hmm. they'll wait. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it made sense. Like, I thought, it's not about us. It's mm-hmm. about you. But then when you did come back, you bring so much to the group mm-hmm. that we were so glad to have you come back. But on the other hand, really impressed. Remember, Rita, yes. what you said about that?
Your honesty touched me very much. Like, you were transparent, and you trusted us enough mm-hmm. to be honest.
And that breeds more honesty, right? And so then you can have more and more authenticity in your relationships because somebody went first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The worst thing that could happen is you find out they're not your people. But the best thing that could happen would be something like this group.
Yeah, mm-hmm. where you just took a little break and came on back.
Yeah.
When Tina and I first met, we were the first, I think, of everybody to be in the neighborhood. But I just remember we were like, oh, we have new neighbors. We should go by and say hi to them. And then we walked down the sidewalk, and I'm thinking, we're here. We need to go and meet these people. And then they come running up the sidewalk with little Charlie. And then it felt like that was just this magical moment. It really was. She's happy to be here, and she's excited to meet us. And I love that, because for a while, we really weren't connecting with any neighbors much, you know, because nobody really had kids Channing's age. Everyone was older, and we lived by a lot of people that were retired, mm-hmm. so we didn't have kids around that we could play with, really.
That was great for us, too, because it was just fun to meet people that mm-hmm. we knew we'd like.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of gatherings in our neighborhood that are, like, part of our HOA. But I know that there's going to be people who say, well, I mean, but I don't have an HOA, so I can't possibly have a group of neighbor friends. So I wanted to sidestep the HOA thing, because those things are great,
mm-hmm.
but how do we make that? And the way that we make that is we just make up stuff. The more random, the better. And so I wanted to ask you guys, what's your favorite random gathering that we've had and why?
Okay.
I would say our bridesmaid poolside.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Snacks and wine event that we did.
So good. Let's do the background. Why do we have a bridesmaid party?
Okay, so we like to have, you know, I think it started out as like, let's have a mom's picnic at the pool. And then somebody said, I wish you guys had been my bridesmaids. So let's make it a bridesmaid party. So we, you know, I mean, I thrift shop, got a cute, you know, little thrifty dress.
I went to the Goodwill. I got a dress.
Did my hair and makeup, and we brought our snacks and wine and met by the pool and had a picnic and a little photo shoot, and it was amazing. We'd have brought the flowers and the ambience. And
then remember you brought all those, like, crystal wine glasses, and we each got to take a wine glass home. It was so much fun.
I was not a part of the original conversation about the bridesmaid.
Oh, no.
I wasn't there.
And then you
were invited to the pumpkin thing. Right?
That we went to at my church?
Yes.
This all came out at the pumpkin gospel.
Yes,
right.
Make it to that event, and that's where this started.
Yes.
So you weren't at it?
But you did come because you were traveling the next day. Remember, you were going to be flying out the next morning for something.
Oh, so you came, but you were not in a bridesmaid's dress.
She took our pictures.
So I was like, well, I guess I'll come by. It was honestly hard for me to miss that. Like, I'm so social, I don't like missing out on the fun. But I love that you guys were like, no, come anyway. And then you didn't make it awkward that I wasn't a part of it fully.
We insisted.
And you did insist, and I appreciated that, because that made a difference, because I hate being left out. That can make people not want to be a part of the group is when someone feels that. But you guys really did take, just come on, Amber, we know you're leaving. Can you come even for 30 minutes? And I appreciated that.
I'm going to solve that problem right now.
Okay.
We're doing it again in fall.
Okay.
Because there are bridesmaids dresses to be gotten at the Goodwill. Oh, no. I'm not kidding. And we'll do it again. It was so much fun. I felt so fancy. Like, remember, like, we were in, like, crystal glasses.
There's nothing fancier
and
than a Goodwill dress.
Oh, my gosh.
I can go on the record to say that. Okay, so what other gatherings were your favorites? Tina, you go.
Okay, I'll go. Okay, so about 3 years ago or so, we had the chocolate slab party. And that's just totally random. Totally Rita. Was inspired by an arm with a tattoo. And so
that was seen in a magazine.
And then the arm was a masculine arm over a beautiful melted chocolate with flowers and everything.
So let me just pause. Tina and Rita see things in magazines and they feel like it's magical and whimsical and fantastical and they want to make it part of their real life.
We get inspired.
I never would never occur to me to do something like that. Yeah. However, it's really awesome because all these things happen because of a magazine, yes. One magazine picture.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. And so the reason it's my favorite is because my husband was going to be the masculine arm because he was only...
He's a really good sport.
He's a really good sport. And so Rita had this idea of tattoos and a masculine arm. And so my husband was like, you know, I've really got things. Like, I've got a meeting, you know, down in Dallas later. And Rita's like, but he has to come because he's the masculine arm. So fast forward to here we are, like, first breaking out the tattoos. Like, prior to this, we have tattoos all the time now for every event.
Temporary
custom tattoos for every event. But we got...
We go see the hot air balloons. We have hot
air balloons.
I would say Tina and Rita are the reason for our amazing pictures. There's always some beautiful decor, some tattoos.
Yeah. They're the party planners.
You know, our luau, Rita got us, you know, mermaids. It's the best. But anyway, so by the end of this party, we're tattooed up, like with temporary tattoos. We've eaten more chocolate than we can imagine. And my son, who was like 7, was literally covered with chocolate head to toe. And I loved that event so much because I think it kind of kicked off. We just went in full gear at the chocolate
slab. Put like actual wildflowers on.
Right. Oh, edible flowers into the chocolate. And chocolate drinking glasses. Remember she made those chocolate shot glasses?
It was fantastic.
And we were, it was something else.
Yes.
Loved it.
Rita, what's your favorite one?
A few months ago, we celebrated Elaine's birthday party at my house. I live with my parents. My mom had just passed away a few weeks prior to that. And we had this birthday party, and Elaine wanted a crepe Zumba party.
As you do.
Right?
Of course.
And it was fantastic. So we were cooking, like, in my mom's kitchen, and then we started dancing, and it uplifted the whole house. It shifted something in me. Like, I became lighter. It was healing.
Why was it at your house?
I wanted it.
She insisted. I love that. Okay.
She thought it would be such a good thing to have it there, something light and fun, because we had just been there a few weeks prior for the prayer service. And
We need a crepe and Zumba again.
Oh, let's do it. We do traditions. We do something, and then we do it again and again.
Yes, that's what we do.
Amber, what's your favorite thing?
I would say the party with the pirate theme.
Oh, Neverland.
And the Neverland themed. Now, tell us again your title so that I don't mess it up.
Neverland.
Well, yeah, but you said something else. It was like something really magical, of course.
Well, we all had names, like...
Oh, you had to come with your pirate name.
Yes,
he did.
So I was... You know, sparkling Scarlet, because I have Scarlet in my hair currently. And then, well, of course, my husband is really great at the nickname, so he had a name for everyone.
That's true.
He did.
But this is one that I feel like all the dads were able to participate in some way. So we had the cookout, and we had I think it was good because we intended on there not really being an end to it. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the open, you know, let's maybe camp out for those who are willing to do that, and two brave souls decided to continue.
I pitched a tent. I just went home.
You did. You pitched a tent and you read.
Pitched a tent and read by lantern light.
Yes.
Peter and then I went to my own bed in my house.
And then we all got sprinkled with pixie dust when we came in. But that was just beautiful.
I just liked it. It was such a long. It wasn't really an end. Everybody knew we could stay as long as we wanted to stay. We're gonna get together the next morning.
Have
breakfast
together. And it just. One thing, too, I like about our group is that we have people that want structure, but for the most part, we're very laid back, and we're free and forgiving. And
we just say yes a lot.
And I love it. We're loose with our expectations, and I feel like that was really one of those parties that was like that. Just
and that's another example of Rita and Tina thinking of the magic, because I think the rest of us, we would just say, okay, let's get together and have a camp and breakfast, but they brought us the pixie dust and the pirate names, and
then the treasure hunt. They made this whole treasure hunt special for the kids.
We have pirate hats.
Oh, I love
the props from pictures.
Yes,
I promise that never would have happened if I was in charge of it, but it's so fun. It's so good. For me, I loved the little mini pie day where we made little pies in the tops of the mason jars. And again, I think that came from a magazine.
Cutie pies. Yeah, I saw it in a magazine. I saw an image of it, and I'm like, and then I'm texting. Okay, we've got to make pies and mason jar and lids. So yeah. Bring stuff, bring pie filling, let's go.
Yeah. And I got to tell you that usually when all these texts start coming out, I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me right now?
And I remember seeing that and thinking like, okay, like let's see how this is going to work out. And, I mean, just always being like pleasantly surprised how amazing it is.
It's, you know, so
fun. They're geniuses with this planning.
Yes. And I think to find the thing that you are excited about, like for me, I'm like, I'm going to get an awesome picture of these pies. And
oh,
I did. Yeah.
Oh, remember that one you got where it's just kind of off to the distance? Oh,
yeah. So I think you got to find like your buy-in to it because I'm so practical that none of that is not, it's not my cup of tea, but my life is so much richer and my kids have so many fun experiences that I promise I never would have planned myself. You know what? I said the wrong thing. I love that we have birthday for my birthday that's on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yes.
I love that we have kind of a progressive party my birthday. And that just makes me feel special every year. So
it's wonderful.
I love
it. It's wonderful. Well, tell Rita, tell what happened with you, with Belle. What she does on this.
Oh, well, yes, we're going to India this December for the first time, like in Bella's life. But she said, Mom, we can go as long as we're back in time for Emily's birthday.
That is so sweet. Aww. I was about to get really mad if you guys were going to be coming.
We are going to be back in time, for sure.
That is so sweet. So I love that our kids are as much into this as we are. So how do you guys think that you as a person have grown as part of this group? Or how about this? Is there any part of the group that you at first were like, I don't know about? So like you, Elaine, you mentioned with your hearing loss, you were like, I don't even know if I can fully engage with that. So you stuck in with that. Did anybody else feel any like hesitancy? I think Rita and Tina probably.
No. I loved it.
For me, I just felt like this is completely impractical.
Yeah.
So I had to like really go. No, I'm going to do this because I'm building friendships with these ladies. It was harder for me, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys know I love you and my life is richer because of it. But at first, like, it wasn't the easiest.
Yeah.
So how have you guys grown as a part, being a part of this group?
Well, I can speak to that a little bit. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners, Emily, can relate to this. I live far from my family. I've lived in Texas many, many years. And I've tried many, many times to bloom where I'm planted, you know. And this group and you guys have given me roots, you know, that I needed. I mean, I live in a state of homesickness often for my family, my mom and my sister. But what it's done for me is it's given me a sense of feeling of family here. I know that any one of you, I can trust you with my child. You know, we've proven that with each other over the years of just, if you need one of us, we're there, you know. Anyhow, I've grown in many ways. I mean, you guys have all inspired me in so many different ways, and I love each and every one of you. But I also feel like it's given me the roots that I wanted for Texas. I mean, I guess I still kind of feel like I'm still from California. But on the other hand, when I think of all of you, and I think about this place and this life and how much you bless my life, it's given me roots, and I'm grateful for that.
Mm. One thing you said, though, that really, you know, you said years. Yeah. That is, to me, kind of a key word, because it has taken us years. This is not an overnight thing. This is not, a month later, I met this friend. It's been month after month after week after year. And, well, obviously, that's not in order. But, you know, it's like we've had little things we've had to work through that made us stronger because we stuck it out. We had little maybe issues with our kids having to work stuff out that we didn't just say, you know what, it's not worth it. We pushed through that thing. And it's been a long road to get to where we are now. You know, there's been a lot that's happened. So I think a lot of it is just patience, too. Prior to really having close friendship with you guys, I felt like there was a desert of friendship for me. It was kind of a weird time. I was around people, and you'd say I was connected, but there wasn't a depth there. And so I wasn't feeling satisfaction in the friendships I had. And even though I was pursuing friendship, I realize there's got to be a reciprocation back from other people in order to really keep that friendship sustained. There's a while I didn't really have good friends. I'm like, guys, I'm really cool. Like, I'm fun. Why do you want to be friends? Like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
And I really did have a good time. I was telling this to my husband, I don't understand what's going on right now. But slowly, though, I started realizing that something was happening here with our friendships. And so there was a time of desert for me before you guys. Of course, I'm even more thankful now because I had that dry season of not really having close friendships and really, really wanting it and desiring that. And so it just, I had to give it the time it needed. And I had to have some refinement in my life. I had some things to work through to be able to be the friend that deserved friends like you, if that makes sense too. Mm. Like there was some work to be character refining.
I feel like what you were saying, and I was telling my husband, why don't I have friends? And he pointed out to me recently, hey, you remember when you were saying that? You have good friends now. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
I've learned to share like my heart's desires, you know, like the floral crowns and the chocolate slab and the Neverland party and these things. Like I wanted to do these things. Like I would see things that inspired me, but I didn't have like the right group to do them with. I have friends like from college and just through life, but I think especially with Bella also having the children and the moms, the pops, the tots, the dogs, like I felt very safe in sharing with you guys. I tried to do something fun with another group of friends, the luncheon, and I thought like let's all bring in like an inspiring quote to the lunch and let's make it beautiful, you know, let's all dress up and stuff. And it was an okay party, but Tina said afterwards, you've got to have like-minded people, like, you know.
Okay, so let me interrupt you. Why did you keep trying? Like, because I think a lot of people would go, this must not be a thing that can happen.
Well, and it put me off, actually, because that was March of maybe 2011.
Oh, your tea party.
Yes, my tea party.
You were so sad, I remember.
The saddest tea party ever.
Well, it was so disappointing, you know?
Tina helped me get out of that. She encouraged me. Okay. She gave me confidence to try again. And it meant so much to me. Like, like the risk of rejection, I guess, was less than the feeling of not doing it. Like the joy that would come from doing it was greater than the risk of rejection. But certainly I was afraid, like with that floral crowns thing, it took me a while to text it to all of you.
I wanted to say, still fun. I still have my floral crown.
I feel like in this group, seeing myself through your eyes, I see positivity, I see acceptance. I shouldn't have any fear, I'm welcome. Mm-hmm. I can be myself. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, bring whatever I bring, and you're not going to judge me. And that's made me continue to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, that's made me comfortable.
Well, let's talk about that, because I had several people ask me on Instagram, what do you do when you don't all, like, have the same beliefs? So a lot of us have spiritual beliefs, but we then have these groups that we have those beliefs with, but we don't all believe the same thing. And then some people said, well, okay, so that's fine if we don't believe the same thing. We just won't talk about it. But we talk about it. Mm-hmm. We've never gotten in a fight about it.
Nope.
You know, and we are, I don't know, like you said, Elaine, it's a safe place to say, I'm different from you and this is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? How could we encourage people to make that a safe place or get out of their comfort zone and quit only being friends with people who believe just like them?
I think it takes, you know, willingness to be open-minded and to accept each other. Yeah. And that's it. I think everybody has a decision to make about that, you know, and just listen to somebody's point of view. And
but I love is that we still talk about it, right? It's not like, okay, so
like,
I accept you.
Talk about that, you know.
Yeah, I don't really think that there's anything we haven't had conversations about.
You know, and it starts, I've noticed it starts with one of us initiating, let's share our, you know, our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations. And
well, and we show up. Like, I'm sitting in Emily's kitchen right now remembering, what was it? I don't remember what event it was, but you walked in, you go, hey, everybody, I'm in a bad mood. Okay, hey, Elaine. And it's like, all right, well, here's some wine. Like, here's a snack, you know? But remember that night? I'm like, amen. Like, that's fun.
You asked me, but how are you? I said, I'm terrible.
I'm terrible. I'm in a terrible mood. And I'm like, okay.
Well, thanks for coming anyway.
Thanks for coming. And you showed up. And it wasn't long before you were just fine.
And I know,
you know?
There's not going to be any awkwardness.
But I think that's also, too, there's not like a, oh, Rita and I are going to talk about Emily.
I was going to ask about that. How is it that
never have a conversation to Emily? There's not that. If we have a conversation separately, it's intended to, hey, we should go talk to Emily or let's go talk about this later.
It always goes to that. Like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. I'm going to go talk to so-and-so about it.
Right.
You guys had an intervention recently at the lemonade stand. What was that all about?
So we had a lemonade stand. My kids wanted a lemonade stand. We spent about $6.50 to make the lemonade stand, and we made about $6. So that's good. We're 50 cents in the hole.
Entrepreneurs.
But, yeah, well, you know, you got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And my kids and Amber's kids are not BFFs. They never have been. They don't like each other. And we've tried some different things. So that's another question. Like, what do you
they're
do
frenemies. If you're...
They're frenemies. Well, they're more just like enemies.
Yes, but it's coming around.
It
because
is.
It comes around. And the friendships are so deep that my position with my son is... get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
you know what? These friendships aren't going anywhere. These people are going to be in our lives. Mm-hmm. And this is how life is. This mm-hmm. is what you do. You work it out. Mm-hmm. You show up. You work it out.
So that's what we tell our kids when we have problems.
Yes.
What are you going to say,
Well,
Amber?
That's what we did, though. We kind of made those girls... I love that, Rita, you guys were there, you and Bella. Because
yeah, we made Bella and Rita talk, even though they weren't even a part of it.
Sit down and join us in our discussion here. It was making them, we could tell how uncomfortable everybody was. But we made them fight through this uncomfortable moment to just, the best you can, talk through this. And we're here to support you, help to kind of guide you through what are you really feeling.
Yeah.
Because I think that's just so key in teaching our kids how to communicate and that this is safe here. We can talk about things that make us uncomfortable or unhappy, and let's get over it, like you're saying.
Yeah.
What can we do to get past it and make our friendship better because of it?
Yeah.
And I think that makes them closer when they have these, you know, kind of a rough back and forth, just the refining through the fire. The fire's never, it burns, but then you become a more beautiful person afterwards, and that's what we're trying to teach those girls. And I think it's going to be an ongoing thing with them. I really do. But I think it'll be things that we just kind of address it as it comes. And we just let the other kids, you know, be a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just kind of went around sitting on this little blanket. And we're like, okay, so how are you feeling about, you know, towards this person? And how do you sometimes feel? And to hear, you know, just kind of make them say it. And it was super awkward.
Oh, totally.
Because all of a sudden they had nothing to say.
Right.
But then we all went around and talked about what we see in them and kind of affirmed the giftings that we see in them. I just think it was really good. I love that Rita and Bella were there too, even though they weren't a part of the conflict that's been going on for like 5 years. But I don't know. I think they're getting there. Because I think we realize it's not enough to just not actively have conflict when you guys see each other. You need to get past it like we're friends. So I think it's kind of like the stake in the ground. These are your friends. Handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. And just making that commitment to each other and to this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's just not only when it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's going to get hard and we can do hard things.
Mm-hmm. How do we avoid the drama that usually comes with women?
I think, though, we all come to the table with humility. We see each other and each other's strengths.
Mm-hmm.
We're not intimidated by that. I think there's some maturity that has to come to it, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
That we've all come through things in our life to be able to be at a place where we know who we are.
But and so we'd be a good friend.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not going to come to be a friend of Emily and be like, oh, well, I'm just so jealous of, you know, fill in the blank. That's an issue I have then.
Yeah.
And so I need to work through that and then go back to trying to be friends with whoever it is, you know?
So own your own.
I think business. So, absolutely. I think pursuing, growing, and changing and becoming the best version of yourself is such a key part of being a good friend.
And helping other people become that, right? Like, I know for Tina, Rita, you said that Tina kind of helped you, encourage you to have the tea party again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know for me, like, I literally would never have started a blog or an Etsy shop or this podcast if Tina hadn't like seen in me what I didn't see in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think lighting a fire under each other, what were you gonna say?
Each of us are not the kind to let something just sit. We care about each other enough to say something, to say I'm upset. I mean, I remember not long ago Tina's son had a birthday party and Vivian wasn't invited because she completely just thought about like kids that same age, she didn't mean at all to exclude.
But Vivian's a lot younger. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I'm just gonna say something. I'm gonna ask her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just let her know, you know, like, I noticed that you were having a gathering. Like, is this something that I missed?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my husband discouraging me from saying anything. He's like, just let it go.
I'm like,
well, I was wondering, did I miss something, you know? And she came straight over and talked to me. She didn't let it sit. She didn't, you know, she wanted to let me know exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I felt so bad because I knocked on the door and I said, Elaine, oh my gosh, I don't even know why I didn't think of it, but it was just that it was a gaming party for fourth grade boys, you know, like, literally.
and there were siblings
coming, like little siblings, but for the most part it was fourth grade kids, you know. And I said, I'm so sorry, I never meant to leave you out, and I hope you understand.
I think I saw, because everybody in this group has a sibling the same age.
Well, and someone put something on Facebook, like a picture of us on the swing or something. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was never intended. But I love that moment with Elaine and I because it brought us closer. She texted me and I just got in the car and drove down there. I mean, it was just down the street. But I got in the car and I knocked on that door and I said,
we should walk more.
I know. And I said,
wait, can you imagine if I hadn't said anything?
It would just have brewed and kept it.
If I would have just like been, oh gosh, I'm not going to say anything, I'm going to make up some excuse. And I was very just hat in hand. I said, I am sorry. Like, that was an oversight on my part. I could not love Vivian more.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is when I was in the chaos of planning a fourth grade gaming party, which you can only imagine, like, how that is, in my mind, I was limited. And then when you said that, I was like, oh, please know that I would never exclude you on purpose. But I felt like I could be real with Elaine and say, I'm sorry.
Because she'd been real with you before, yeah, right? We have a history of it,
So I think that's what we established. It's like, hey, I'm going to be real with you. Tell me the truth. Be straight with me. I think we've established that at some point.
And we do it, though. And we are real with each other.
We don't have to kind of say it. We just let each other know. You can be honest with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I've heard people do, though, in that scenario is Tina could have said, oh my gosh, I can't believe that Elaine is doing this. And she could have made it a, let's all get upset at Elaine. Why would she act like that? And kind of make it an issue, because of the way she felt, she could have been like, I'm being attacked. So in her attack mode, could have talked bad about Elaine.
She could have said, how dare you leave me out of your birthday party?
Yeah, and there's something about the way it all was all handled. That was a key thing. If you had come in a different way, she would have reacted differently. But also, she could have reacted differently. You know what I mean? To kind of create a gossipy type of scenario.
Yeah.
But it didn't. And there's a humility there. That's when you said, humbly, you drove your car down the street.
All the five houses down.
I was in my pajamas, and Charlie's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to Elaine's. I am going down there. I'm going
to
tell
you. Charlie wanted to say to Vivian he was sorry or something.
Oh, and then little Charlie felt so bad. He goes, Mom, I didn't mean to leave Vivian out. I said, I know. It was just one of those things. Like, you think logically, like, oh, it's a gaming party for fourth graders. But, you know, and some siblings are coming. But then all of a sudden it's like, oh, but Viv.
Yeah. But then to get past it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know what I mean?
You were over it. You gave me a big hug and that was it. We were fine.
Yeah.
So good. Okay, so I want to talk about that. Some of the barriers that people mentioned to me on Instagram were an age difference. And what do we say is the age difference in our group? Is it
16 years?
16 years. So we're all different ages. We are all different faiths. Our children are different ages.
Well, that's the cool thing about our kids. We range from 5 to 11.
No, 16.
I
have the youngest and the oldest.
So you win on all the ways.
I'm 5 to 16, and I'm the youngest of the moms in our group. Yeah.
I think what I love about our group is that we do value how different everyone is. Mm-hmm. And that's an asset, not a liability. All right, another barrier. Let's just really talk about it. What I was really encouraged by when we first moved here, because, like, we discovered just tonight that we're all teachers. How do we not know that? Before I was a nurse, I was a teacher. But that we all, like, I kind of homeschool in the hybrid-y situation. Mm-hmm. We have public school. Public school teachers. Like, theoretically, we should all not like each other. Or we should be a little giving each other the side eye.
One of the things, too, that I think is important, and as your listeners are thinking about this, is husbands. We all have been in a great situation because all the men like each other. That's not always so, and I don't know how to get there.
Well, here's the deal, though. I mean, so Rita is not married
to
Ranu.
Ranu takes the cake of just amazing.
So he is very present, and yet it would be easy for you to say, I can't be around when the husband's wrong because I'm not, like, there is so many ways that we could take the exit, off ramp in this group. We all have ways and we've chosen not to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think for you being the one who is single, you could definitely leave and go, well, I can't, but you do.
But at the end of the day, our husbands support these friendships. And as these women are like hoping for these kind of things or working towards these friendships and things, I think that it is good if the husbands at least are okay with each other and aren't going to keep you from it.
One of the things that makes our group successful is that we do moms and tots. We do moms and pops. And we value the balance of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we say we need to just gather as moms. We understand that balance, that that's important for our well-being. And we're dedicated to that.
And if someone, if someone voices like, we just need the moms or whatever, we kind of just are like, okay, well, when can we make that happen? Like, Rita wanted a birthday party that was a picnic in front of a fireplace.
Well, no, that was Tina's idea. From a magazine.
I saw the magazine picture of the fire and I said, oh, that's Rita.
And I loved it. Oh, my gosh. Because I haven't had a birthday party, like, I can't remember when, maybe 16?
That's not acceptable.
Oh, and it meant, I turned 39. It meant so much to me.
Yeah, I would tell you that, like, even my birthday came around and you guys wanted to celebrate it. I was like, what? Like, I'm told to have a birthday party, but only with you guys. Like,
but celebrating everything, like, that's another piece I would say, is we do live in an HOA that has, like, stuff. It's great, but make up your own stuff. I mean, now we have Elaine's birthday. Well, I'm hoping we do Zumba again. Loved it. The crepes were amazing. Emily, your birthday is just something. I mean, come on. It's just great.
Okay, so I have a question. Somebody asked, how do you make sure that we are not always all up in each other's business, over at each other's house? And as I was asking this question that I got on Instagram, we all said, well, we really never have done that. I know that we'll leave stuff outside each other's doors.
Oh, I love that tradition. Oh, talk about that, Emily.
Well, I have a wagon outside my door that my kids used to ride in. I need to now sell it because they don't ride in it anymore. But it's the place that everybody, like Tina the other day, left lots of times bread.
All the time.
With butter, right?
And she has the best bread, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I love to leave bread. Oh, that's my favorite thing. But then Emily leaves hot chocolate chip cookies.
I try to leave cookies when I have enough.
You made me cochlea-shaped cinnamon rolls when I got my cochlear implants.
I was so excited.
Oh my gosh, that's
I went to Pinterest and I was like, what is shaped like a cochlear implant? Surely Pinterest can help me. And they did. They said cinnamon rolls. And I make good cinnamon rolls.
You do. You make beautiful cinnamon rolls. But that is so fun. And kind of answering your question, Emily, it's like, so what we do is we drop it on the door and then we text. So it's not like someone's knocking on your door. Yeah. You're standing there in your PJs, whatever. And then it's like, oh, hey, like I'll get a text and Emily will be like, just left some hot chocolate chip cookies on your door. I'm like, yes. You know, and then, you know, I go out there and she's long gone. So I think there's a boundary thing that I think that we've been really great about as a group.
So it's like a touch point, but it's not invasive.
Yes. It feels like someone loves you. But if you're not feeling like you want to be social, you don't have to be. Or you can run out the door going, where did you let you go? I wish you were still here.
I would say that we do it at occasions, like, or, you know, like if something big happens in each other's lives, we're there.
Yes,
you know, definitely.
Casserole, cinnamon rolls, cookies, whatever, bread.
Well, and then also, like, we'll text each other and say, hey, we're at the pool, or hey, we're going on a walk, or hey, we're doing this thing, and so come if you want. Yeah. It's just kind of like remembering to put each other in our lives, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of effort, I feel like. There really is. But it is reciprocated, though, and that's...
It was like, hold it loosely. Make the effort and hold it loosely and go, are these my people?
Don't be offended if it isn't necessarily, but yes.
But you got to keep trying and see if they're your people, because when it lands, it's awesome. Yeah. So what, I don't know, is there anything else you guys want to encourage a mom who feels like they don't know where to start with all this? I think we've talked about a lot of things. Be open, don't gossip, be genuine, go first.
I think there are some things, like someone always has to take the first step and go kind of deeper and to be more vulnerable. And so I think that's part of it too, is just putting yourself out there, but then don't be afraid to be the vulnerable one, because it kind of starts the domino effect, I think, a lot of times. So
I think saying yes, just trying, you never know. Like, say yes. You're invited to something and you think in your mind, I'm not going to like that.
Catching fireflies in jars. Yeah. That did not sound fun to
just
me.
Just say yes.
But it was so fun.
Yeah.
Just say yes. Just try it, because you never know. You can be surprised that it might work out. And then I think coming to our group, looking on the outside, looking in, I would think, oh, I'd be intimidated. There's four of you sitting around me. That's intimidating. But the way it worked was forming a friendship first. So I met Tina. Tina was the first person in our group that I met. And that gave me the courage to expand and meet more people. And I think that helped me a lot. Like, if you can find someone like-minded that believes in the vision that you have to expand your group to more people, it's more possible to do that.
Well, when you have a crazy idea, it's like our PJ party at Christmas. Mm-hmm. Well, that was born of a friend of mine at school saying, oh my gosh, do you know how good Bailey's is in coffee stirred with like a candy cane? And I'm like, no, I don't, but I'm going to find out. I got on my phone and texted you guys, okay, so we're having a PJ party at my house. I'll provide the Baileys. I remember that first day, we were like sitting there at like noon, a coffee with Baileys and stirring with our candy canes, and the kids were watching Christmas movies. I mean, come on, right? But what's great about that is get inspired, reach out. I mean, there's mm-hmm. got to be someone else in your world that wants the magical things too, mm-hmm. like wants yeah. something special and mm-hmm. would be like, I'll come over and have a Bailey's and coffee and stir it with yeah. a candy cane with you. Yeah. I mean, and if it starts with one friend mm-hmm. who, like, can be like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I would do that. Yeah, I will go catch fireflies mm-hmm. with you. I have always wanted to catch fireflies. Let's do it.
Or I've never wanted to, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to try it.
Yes.
I'll
yes,
fly people. With wings. Yeah. I'll spray paint wings so that we can mm-hmm. do an act at the talent show.
Right.
I'll, you know, whatever it is, let your wild and, like, beautiful ideas come out mm-hmm. and invite someone to do it. And right. even if you invite one person and mm-hmm. then that person's like, yeah, I like that. That sounds really good. You never know where that will go.
I mean, I love it. We're all sitting here in t-shirts that Amber made.
Can I explain them?
Apparel is important to me now, how much that's a gift that God's given me to do, but that it does speak to people, and it is, it's a, kind of like a banner, an anthem, you know, mm-hmm. if you will. And so I felt like there were words for everybody, you know, and that's where I kind of felt like giving, you know, something for Rita, and I just had words for Rita, you know, with peace, love, and hope. And then I was just like, you know, and Tina is always making everything magical, and I just, she really just has that about her, that everything just has glitter. We don't mm-hmm. see it all the time, but it's glittery and sparkly and magical, everything. Mm-hmm. And then just hearing so much about Elaine's life, just the fact that you're an overcomer, I mean, that is you. And I just love how real and authentic Emily is. And so, you know, she's always keeping it real. And I love that about you, because that is what makes you you. Like, we mm-hmm. know this is Emily, that we're not, there's no extra, we're not, this is not a facade.
There's no extra.
And no, and but I love it. I love that that's... is what we get.
Yeah. I love that the things that you guys plan to do, I'm allowed to be like,
yes.
Are you kidding me right now?
Right.
That's right, Sharky.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my favorite name. Sharky Swagger.
Sharky Miss Swagger.
Because
I'm also like,
wow. Yeah, I think you're like, are you kidding me right now? And so is Amber. I think the three of us are more, well, I sure never would have thought of that.
Okay. They're going to bring the pixie dust. Right. They're going to make a magic.
Yeah, but it's really fun just to like kind of highlight how different we are and go, wow, you make this richer.
I think one thing, it seems a little overwhelming for someone who does feel very busy. Because I've in my business, I have kids, and it's helped that my kids are older now. But, you know, when my kids were younger, it felt like I didn't have time to devote to friendships, you know. But I think that if I sat down and looked at my day, I could say, you know what, I don't really need to watch So You Think You Can Dance or this show or whatever.
Yeah.
I can do laundry later. I can go by and say hi to this friend. So shifting things around in my day, making a priority, because it can be so overwhelming when you hear about all the things happening that we've done together. And like, oh my gosh, I don't have time for that.
Certainly.
But we've made time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because it's become a priority in our lives and how it really does enrich us and it encourages us and lifts us up. So we make time for that and mm-hmm. getting rid of the things that, or maybe even asking for help. Honey, can you please watch the kids just for a little bit tonight so I can hang with my friends? Or just mm-hmm. and voicing those needs, I think.
And why I think neighbors are so important is we see each other so much because mm-hmm. we can walk to each other's
yes.
house.
Beautiful.
Yes,
beautiful.
And so you can have the neatest friend across town, mm-hmm. but it's just not as
proximity.
Practical. Proximity yeah. is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
I think that just like walk around and invite. Okay, so let's that brings us to the turquoise table.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
beautiful
yes.
community.
So Kristen Schell, we yeah. love her and her turquoise table. And just the idea of being front yard people.
Oh,
and
yes.
I don't know. I just think if that's something that you can do to gather around, like I have just this heart for the people on my street. And so I want to get to know them because all y'all live on other streets than mine. And so I think knowing you has helped me go, there must be more. So it's so fun. Is there anything else that you guys need to share?
I'm just really proud of you, Emily. I mean, you know, 100 episodes of what you've accomplished.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, awesome. I know. I think about you and I think what a blessing you are and what, I mean, I listen to you regularly. Mm-hmm. I always like to joke and say, if I'm really missing you, like, I'll just turn on your podcast. I feel like we're like sitting there having a cup of coffee or something. Because I miss you. We do get really busy and mm-hmm. we don't see each other a whole lot sometimes. We go through seasons, but.
Yeah, it's important to realize that we are not always sitting around the table all the time talking.
Oh, yeah. You know that you can go a month or two and we'll still be the same.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And just it's very comfortable. But that's what I do when I get really missing you. I'll just put on your podcast and I'll be like, oh, we're having coffee. It's so great. And get something out of it.
I agree with that, though. But a lot of it is, you know, there are podcasts out there that you feel like, oh, that was a waste of my brain cells, you know, just because it just wasn't encouraging. It kind of puts you in a weird mood or, you know, you're like, okay. But the fact that you have this platform and you're wanting to encourage women and moms and people in general. I mean, anyone can listen to this and be encouraged by it. But, but you know, there are times at night, like I will be working at 1 o'clock in the morning and I'll just be playing your podcast because it is good to talk about. These are things that they're worth talking about. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you taking that platform and doing something good with it because there are a lot of people that are just, they're wasting their platform, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I admire you for doing it. And that's why you're at 100 episodes. Mm-hmm. It's being blessed and God's behind that, you know, and he's going to do good things with it.
And you know that I listened to you when I got my cochlear implants.
So I love that.
You know, that got you too, but so when I was practicing my listening, I had to listen to a lot of audio things, and your podcast was the first thing that I tuned into when I was practicing.
That seriously makes me want to cry. Yeah.
Well, and what was fun was when this whole text was going around about your 100th episode, Rita was out of town, I was out of town, and we're all just like going, funny little things going back and forth, and I thought, I am so honored, and like I just want you to know that I'm really honored to be part of your 100th episode, and I'm just, could not be prouder of you and what you've accomplished with this, and I just feel like if we can give something, you know, some encouragement to someone else listening, I'm grateful for that.
Happy 100th, Emily!
Hey, I really hope that was helpful for you. It was really a sweet time for us to talk together, but I really didn't just want it to be about us talking together and you listening. I really wanted you to get something out of it. And so did they. So they came up with a lot of really good ideas. So I wanted to kind of quick recap. Number one, sometimes first impressions are not always accurate, but sometimes they are. So just push past it if someone seems like you could never really be good friends with them, because I didn't at first think I would be able to be friends with these people, but they're just such an important part of my life now. Number two, we all have different gifts. And so to celebrate that, instead of just keep looking for people who are exactly like you, I would encourage you to find people who are not like you. For example, you will notice that Tina was the one who kind of brought us all in, but then Rita's the one who schedules it and makes it magical. I make them do things that make them nervous, like be on a podcast. I don't really know what I do, but I do something. So we all have different gifts. We also talked about how you need to go first. Be the one to invite, be the one to reach out, be the one to ask for a number. Don't wait for someone else to go first. Also, communicating your needs. If you need a break, like Elaine did, take a break. Also, it's important to believe the best in one another. Like they mentioned, when wires get crossed and miscommunication happens, which it absolutely does happen, go to the person, clear it up. I hope that you are encouraged by our random gathering ideas. Literally put two events together that have never been combined in the history of ever and make a party out of it, and I promise you will never forget it. The other thing, and I think they mentioned it, but if we do something and we have a good time, man, that time next year, I'm not the one who remembers that we did it a year ago, but somebody, probably Rita, remembers, and then we do it again. So just make it a recurring situation if you liked it. Also, we talked about being loose with our expectations. Nobody's getting their panties in a bunch when we can't all meet. We just do the best we can and be so excited when everybody arrives and so happy that they came when they have to leave. Don't expect too much. Also, the encouragement that you're going to have to try a lot of different times. There's going to be a lot of events that you try and they really may not go well, and do not let that discourage you. And don't be the crazy neighbor that shows up all the time on someone's doorstep ringing the doorbell. We do a lot of texting and a lot of leaving stuff on doorsteps, and it works for us. A question I got on Instagram that we didn't answer, I just forgot to answer it, is regarding screen time. And so our kids are 11-year span, and so that can get tricky with screen time, but this is what we do. Whatever is appropriate for the littlest kid, that's where we go. But 99% of the time, there's no screens when we're all together. So we just encourage them to use their imaginations, go play, figure it out, pretend like you're old-fashioned in the good old days before all these screens, and go play in the dirt or something. So we just kind of say no, and it simplifies a lot of stuff. They get ticked off for a second, and then they get over it, and then they go play, and they know how to talk to one another and look in each other's eyeballs, and we don't have to wonder what's going on the screens. So we like get a little bit Amish when we get together. But we do drive cars to get to our neighbor's house that's 5 houses away. So not that Amish, but Amish when it comes to screens. Anyhow, I hope there's something that you can take away from that. I hope that you are encouraged that it is not perfect, but it is definitely possible. And I would love to hear if you try any of these things out. I will tell my neighbors and they will be thrilled for you. So please do some weird, hard things in your neighborhood with people you don't know, and then come back and tell us, okay? And even if it goes terribly badly, at least you'll have a really good story. All right, ladies, thank you for listening 100 times. I'm sure you haven't made it to all of them, but thank you for listening. It has been an absolute joy doing this 100 times. Have a great week of struggling well.